We worship in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God created mankind in his own image, blessed them, and gave them the earth to fill and enjoy.
Blessed are all those who take refuge in him.
When mankind fell into sin by disobeying God's laws, they became sinners and deserved only punishment and death in hell.
But God had
this gospel message of forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation through Jesus Christ is the mission of his church here on earth.
Praise and thank you, O God, that in this nation we love, we have the freedom to believe these truths, teach them to our children, and proclaim them to other people.
Your Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, in whom our forefathers placed their hope, continue to bless our nation today. Help us to be a light of faith in a world of darkness.
Grant us your peace and help us to love you and our neighbor.
You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light.
We are precious.
Therefore, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord.
We know that our labor is not in vain.
And God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus.
Our God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Confession has two parts. The one is that we confess our sins. The other is that we receive absolution or forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting but firmly believing that our sins are thus forgiven before God in heaven. God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Dear Father in heaven, on this day of celebration, we praise you for the gifts of freedom and of liberty in this land. We humbly confess all our sins to you with heartfelt sorrow. Forgive us for the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for those who have defended our nation. We thank you for the servicemen and women who have served and still serve our country. Bless and protect them at home and abroad. Grant courage and dedication to the leaders of our country to do what is just and right. Help us to work together so that we continue to live in a land where the gospel can be freely proclaimed and heard. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Our first scripture reading is recorded in the 20th chapter of the book of the prophet Jeremiah, beginning at verse 7. You persuaded me, Lord, and I agreed to it. You are stronger than I am, and you won out. I have become a laughingstock all day long, and everyone is mocking me. Whenever I speak, I cry out violence and destruction. But the word of the Lord has brought scorn on me. I am mocked all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak his name anymore, then there is a burning fire in my heart, shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in. I cannot. I hear many whispering terror on every side. All my close friends, those who are watching for my fall, say, denounce him. Let's denounce him. Perhaps he can be pressured into making a mistake. Then we will have the upper hand against him, and we will take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a terrifying warrior. So my persecutors will stumble, and they will not gain the upper hand. They will be put to shame completely because they have not been successful. Their eternal disgrace will never be forgotten. Lord of armies, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your vengeance on them, for I have laid out my case before you. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of the wicked. This is the word of the Lord. We read responsively the psalm of the day, Psalm 32, printed in your worship folder. How blessed is the person How blessed is the person when I kept silent,
my bones wasted away as I roamed all day long.
For day and night your hand was heavy on me.
My measure was dried up by the frost of the sun.
I acknowledged my sin to you. I said, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. Many are the sorrows of the wicked. Our second reading is from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning at verse 24. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor is a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If the master of the house was called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, because there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, and nothing hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground without the knowledge and consent of your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who confesses me before others, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening is the 142nd Psalm. We read from the NIV. The Psalm is titled, A Psalm of David When He Was in the Cave, a Prayer. David writes, I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way.
In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. Look to my right and see, no one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. This is God's word. In the name of our Savior, dear friends, in considering the greatest men of the Old Testament, at the top, or at least close to the top of any list we might make of those men, would certainly be King David. From humble beginnings as a shepherd boy, he was lifted up by the Lord to become an almost heroic figure, the giant killer, a mighty warrior, a faithful king, a writer of psalms, songs of praise and prayer to the Lord. David was a great man. And yet he had his days of disappointment, discouragement, days when he felt all alone in the world, overwhelmed by problems, beset by his own sins and by the sins of others against him. Because David was just a man. He was a sinful human being, like you and me. David wrote the psalm that is before us this evening during one of those down times. King Saul was after him. He was trying to kill David because the Lord had appointed David to be the next king of Israel, and Saul didn't want that. And so we see David hiding in a cave in the wilderness, marked for death. Certainly, King David, or David before he became king, certainly he had reason to feel discouraged and alone and overwhelmed. Life in a sinful world can get that way sometimes, as any sinner will tell you. But David teaches us here to deal with those times in this beautiful psalm before us. When we feel overwhelmed like David did, David would urge us to call on the Lord. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. Certainly David knew of the Lord's mercy from the history of God's people Israel. He knew how the Lord had delivered his people out of the slavery of Egypt. He knew all about Gideon, who with only 300 men by the Lord's command went up against an army of 135,000 soldiers. And the Lord gave him the victory. David knew of how his great-grandmother Ruth, who was a heathen Moabite woman, was lifted up by the mercy of God to be included in the family line of the Savior's descendants. David knew well where to go when he felt overwhelmed, to his merciful God. And David certainly knew even more so that the mercy of God was found in his saving promises.
He knew the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. He knew the God of free and faithful and forgiving grace. Later, after his own heart's sinful corruption had dragged him down into adultery and murder, he knew where to go. To his merciful God. He praises God for his mercy. We read those words just this evening. Blessed is the person whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. You forgave the guilt of my sin. And so, feeling overwhelmed there in the cave, he calls out to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him, I tell him my trouble. No one is concerned for me. No one cares for my life. David was all alone. There was no one there with him to share his problems. No one to help him solve this problem of King Saul wanting to kill him. But he says, when my spirit grows faint within me, you know my way. Lord, you understand. You've helped others when they needed that. And you can help me too. These are words to remember when we feel overwhelmed. You know my way, O Lord. Lord, you can help me. Lord, no one else understands, but you do. When I don't know where to turn, when there's no one to help, you are there. There are times in our lives when we can feel so overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by life's problems, by our own sin and guilt and shame. We can feel pretty alone at those times, as though no one understands and no one is there to help. But our God is there. He is there just as he was there when our sins separated us from him. And he brought us into his family through the sacrament of baptism. Just as he was there when, before we were even born, he sent his own Son into the world to redeem us, to rescue us from sin and guilt and shame. The Lord himself encourages, "Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. And you will glorify me." And when we do that, we will find, like David, that we can take refuge in him. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge. A refuge is a wall that protects a person. It is a fortress that keeps a person safe. Now, when David ran from Saul, he hid in a cave. But that cave really couldn't protect him. But the Lord could. God had chosen him to be the next king. And so there was nothing, finally, that Saul could do about that. Saul could not destroy David. God would see to that. David would be the next king. And later in his life, when Satan tried to bury him in the guilt and shame of his sins, Satan was not successful because David found refuge in the forgiving love of his Savior. You are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord. And the Lord did just that. That same refuge, that same safety is available to us too. When sin and guilt and shame roll over us, when fear and worry and disappointment and discouragement threaten to simply overwhelm us, when Satan tries, just like he did with David, to tear us away from our Savior's forgiving love, when he accuses us of not being worthy of that love, which of course we are not, when he accuses us of not deserving the eternal life that our Savior won for us, which of course, again, we are not deserving of that, but then our gracious God is there for us to protect us as our mighty fortress. As David wrote in the 46th Psalm, those familiar words, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. The God of Jacob is our fortress. But notice, he is not just our refuge where we can hide and be safe. He is also our strength. Because being surrounded by a fortress doesn't mean the battle has come to an end. It goes on. Satan and the world and our own sinful nature are not going to give up, not in this life. But God promises to strengthen us against those attacks, so that we don't feel overwhelmed. You are my portion in the land of the living, writes David. You are my portion. You are all that I need, is what he is saying. David was on the run from Saul for a long time. This wasn't just an overnight kind of thing. And the Lord gave him strength. He gave him companions to help him remember the promise of God. He gave him even Saul's own son to be his best friend. And these companions strengthened him, kept him from being overwhelmed, helped him hold on until God kept his promise to make David king. You see, God does not always remove the problems of our lives from us just because we ask him to. He doesn't just take them away immediately. He comes to us and he strengthens us with his promises so that we can deal with them, so that we will not be overwhelmed by them. In fact, think for a moment about some of the most precious promises we have about that from our God. And none of them talk about how God is going to take it away when we come and ask him to remove our troubles. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness, your weakness. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. All things work together for good to those who love God. We all know those passages. We are comforted by those promises. But notice, none of them say, yes, God will take that away from you right now. No, God will strengthen you. He will be there for you. He will get us through. He will protect us and strengthen us and eternally bless us. And so King David wants us to confidently look to the Lord for deliverance, just as he did. Now, I suppose part of this, he doesn't sound real confident, does he, in this psalm? I mean, and how could he? He's in a cave, hiding from King Saul, who wants to kill him. But we do see his confidence in these words. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. But not for you, O Lord. Set me free from my prison that I may praise your name, he says. You see, he's so confident that the Lord is going to rescue him, that he even tells the Lord, here's what I'm going to do when you rescue me. I'm going to praise you. And I won't be alone in that. The righteous will gather around me because of your goodness to me. His fellow believers would join him in praising and worshiping the Lord for his mercy to David. And that includes 3,000 years later, you and me. Why do you think David wrote this psalm? He wrote this psalm certainly to call out to the Lord for himself, but God moved him to do that so that we too would benefit from these words of David. David knew very well that every sinner at times feels alone, discouraged, beset by sin and guilt and shame, overwhelmed, maybe even on the brink of despairing. And he wants us to know how good it is to call out to the Lord and to know that he's listening and that he is there for us when we turn to him for help. He wants us to know that our God is a God of mercy and understanding and forgiveness. After all, he sent his own Son into this world to deliver us from the guilt and the shame and the fear and the feeling of being overwhelmed. He took all of that on himself for us. David wants us to know that our God is merciful. He protects his people. He strengthens his people in every situation in this sinful world. He wants us to be as confident as he was of the Lord's deliverance. And so many of the Psalms, as you read through them, have that as its theme. God helps those, his children, who call out to him. He is there for them. And it's encouraging, isn't it, to read in God's word about all of these people that were helped and strengthened by the Lord. It gives us confidence to call out with confidence to the Lord for help. Set me free from my prison that I may praise your name. Let us also then value the testimony of those fellow Christians who have been lifted up by the Lord when they felt overwhelmed. Their experiences are a reminder to us that the Lord is there with his mercy and help. And so, we learn from this then that we don't want to forget to praise the Lord when he does deliver us. Oftentimes our promises to do so, we kind of forget about those a little bit. But he also doesn't want us to forget to share how our merciful God has delivered us when we called out to him. That's part of our encouraging one another in the faith too, isn't it? Because sooner or later, a time will come in all of our lives when we feel overwhelmed with life's struggles and cares and worries, with guilt and shame because of our sins. That's all part of being a sinner, surrounded by sinners in a sinful world. But let us never forget where our help is found. Let us call out to our merciful God and find refuge and strength in his promises, and then confidently look for his deliverance, praising him, as David did, for all of his goodness to us. Amen.